Well, here we are in 2012, and to be honest, I'm quite overwhelmed and honoured to sort of be taking the service this morning. It's all done by the grace of God, isn't it? All that we do, but I'm also honoured and privileged to be serving here at Twinning Chapel. And I want to thank you for your love and your kindness that you've shown to me and my family. And I pray that God will bless you this year. It's an interesting time, isn't it? January the 1st. What do you do with January the 1st? Change your calendar. Well, yes, there's that, I guess, isn't there? But it's a time of reflection to think, well, what do I leave behind of the last year and what do I take forward with me? And hopefully you'll remember last year's theme that we had. Stepping out of the puddle. Did somebody say that? Stepping out of the mud. Stepping out of the trouble. No, stepping out in faith, wasn't it? And I want us this year to consider moving that up a little bit. From stepping out in faith to moving on in faith. And you'll see where I'm going with that. So, at the end of the service, come and pester me for a new little card. Okay? And it says, Twinning Chapel, Moving On in Faith, 2012. Yes, right. I had to check the date. And on the back, just to remind you, Moving On in Faith, 2012. Now, you can do what you like with this, politely speaking. You can stick it on the fridge, you can stick it in your purse, you can stick it in your wallet, you can stick it in your Bible. And there's a verse in there for the year, and it says this, from Romans 8, verse 28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's not a sweeping statement. Because that's quite a glib verse sometimes. We can just throw it out and we can say, you know, well, don't worry about it because God will cause it for good. How can we sort of unpack that from stepping out in faith to moving on in faith this year? And what do I mean by that? Surely maybe stepping out and moving on in faith are the same thing. I want us to explore that a little bit and show perhaps they aren't. So we've got a little reading from Matthew 14. It's a famous passage and we won't be looking at it all the time this morning, and it's about Peter walking on the water. So Matthew 14 verses 22 to 33, and it says this, and immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now after he sent the multitudes away, he went, this is Jesus, up to a mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many distances away from land, battered by the waves and the wind. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Certainly, you are God's son." It's an interesting passage, we know it very well. But there's a few little things for us to consider here. First of all, when Jesus told them to go ahead in the boat and that he was going to meet them on the other side, then surely Jesus expected them to get there. He would have to meet them. But it's interesting, in verse 27 there, it talks about they're afraid because they see Jesus coming, walking on the water. And I guess if there was an unexpected move of God in our lives, like Jesus walking on the water, we would probably get a little bit afraid as well. Something we've not seen before, considered before. But verse 29, Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, command me to get out of the boat." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. I wonder what that was like. Don't know if you ever tried it. I tried it when I was a teenager. Walked on water for about 3 steps and that was it. But I'm not God. I'm a mere mortal. But in verse 30, it's interesting, it says, but seeing the wind, you see, as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he noticed what was going on around him, and he began to sink. It's interesting that Matthew says that he saw the wind. Well, if you're honest, you can't really see the wind, can you? But you can see its effects. You can see the disturbances that it causes. And I've been out at sea when it's been windy, and I'll tell you what, it is terrifying. I've been out at sea when the boat has capsized because the wind has been so rough, and that is terrifying. But the thing that Peter forgot was the one who had called him was the one who created the wind. And sometimes when life is unexpected, we forget who's calling us. The one who created the world and all that is in it. So Peter stepped out in faith and started off. A bit like me sometimes. You know, God asked me to do something and I step out in faith and I see the wind. And I have terrible trouble with wind, but it's not, I think of myself a hole there, you know what I mean. And I was going to ask you the same question. Do you have problems with wind? But we won't go down that road today. But you know where I'm getting, don't you? There's a sense where we can see things stirring up around us. So Peter steps out of the boat, but he fails to move on in faith. He steps out in faith, but no more. And he sees what's going on around him, takes his eyes off Jesus, and he sinks. The thing that God's challenged me this year is to keep my eyes on him. That as I step out in faith, I move on in faith and not see all that's going on around me, all the distractions of the world. I tell you what, we're living in a pretty windy world at the moment, aren't we? Right, lots of disturbances that would distract us and cause us to stop stepping out in faith. I wonder what the story would have been like if Peter had moved on in faith. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder what different circumstances in my life would have been, and the story might be different if I'd moved on in faith instead of seeing the wind, taking my eyes off Jesus. So Peter steps out but fails to move on. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus and our eyes off the wind? How do we move on in faith? I don't need to tell you what kind of year we're facing. As far as the world is concerned, it's going to be very interesting to say the least. Alex Salmond, anybody heard of that fishy guy? Probably shouldn't say that, he's from Scotland, Jim. You probably know all about him. He said this, Scotland needs security and fulfilment. He said that about 4 or 5 days ago. And he encouraged people in Scotland to take full control of their destiny. Yeah, right, how do you do that? How do you unpack that, Mr. Salmond? How do you get security and fulfilment and take control of your destiny? He's obviously not seen the wind lately. I was going to say, tell that one to Peter. And yet there are three things that the world lacks that we will not find in politicians, but in the Word of God. You see, to step out of the boat despite the wind and to move on in faith, and not just to step out in faith, we need confidence. We need to be convinced. And we need to know God. Right, that's it, you can go home now. But how do we actually unpack that? How do we get out of the boat and not just step out, but move on? Those three things that I mentioned. How do we find those things? How do we find confidence to face the wind? How do we be convinced in the Word of God to face the wind? How do we continue to know God and walk with him and face whatever winds blow this year in 2012? It's pretty obvious, really. We need to be confident. We need to be confident in the things of God. We need to be confident in who we are. If you look up in the dictionary about what confident means, it means a firm belief, certainty in action. Maybe we need to ask Peter that one. Peter, how do you get confidence? You stepped out the boat. And he would say, well, I did, but I failed to move on. How do we find confidence? We find it in the Word of God. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, and I'll abbreviate this a little bit to save time. Verse 1 of Psalm 27 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Then verse 3, it goes on, it says, though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. In spite of whatever comes across to David, whether it's war or he shall be confident. Why? Because the context is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And it's interesting that we start this new year off reminding ourselves around the Lord's table. He is our light and our salvation. If we're saved, who shall we fear? It's interesting when the lifeboat goes out and reaches the sailors in distress, Do they continue with fear? No, because they know they're saved. They know their journey is going to be safe and they will arrive home safely. Guess what? You're going to arrive home safely. Maybe not to your physical home, but you're on your way to a heavenly home. You're saved. Who shall you fear? What greater confidence can we have in that? Ephesians 3 verse 12 says this: in Jesus we have boldness and confident access through him in faith. Confident access. Whatever we face this year, the Bible tells me that I have confident access to Jesus. That I should come to him in fear and trembling, in the sense of terrified fear that I can't approach him because he's some sort of heavy-handed father. But no, I have confident access. It's interesting, if my children have done something wrong, they don't have confident access to come to me. Maybe you've noticed that with your kids or with people. There's a lack of confidence. You know, I get things wrong all the time. I ask my wife and children that. And yet through this, I have confident access. Can you see where I'm going with that? No matter what I've done wrong, I can still have confident access to God. Paul, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6, he says this: for I am confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Now, can you imagine Paul writing to this church? And he could have confidence in all sorts of things. He could say, I have confidence that that sermon I preached was a really good one. I have confidence in myself that I will get to where you are. But no, he says, I have confidence in this very thing, that if God has begun a work in you, he'll complete it. It's interesting, we face this year with terrible wind in the world, and yet we can face it confidently that whatever God has started in you, he will finish. You know, I start this new year with all sorts of jobs around the house that I didn't do last year. And yet I can say this much: I am confident that whatever God has begun in me, he will finish. He doesn't have an unfinished jobs list. What about you? I am confident that whatever God has begun, he will complete in me. Psalm 71 verse 5. David says, for you are my hope, O my God. You are my confidence from my youth. It's interesting that David reflects back to when he was a teenager and says, I had confidence in you then, and I have confidence in you now. Confidence in the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. How many of you were tripped up by something last year? No, you don't need to put your hands up, just ask that rhetorically. You felt as if your foot was caught in something and you just fell. It might have been physically, but more than likely it was a situation that you were caught by. I'm confident in the Lord that he will keep my foot from being caught. 2012. Proverbs 14 verse 26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, sometimes the last place we go to is God, isn't it? Why? Because sometimes we lack the confidence. We feel that we haven't got it all together. You know, my kids don't have to have it all together. I just love them as they are. They might have made a real mess of things like I do, but I still welcome them. What about God? If he's a greater heavenly father, surely we can go to him with confidence. Hebrews 10 verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13 verses 5 to 6, be content for what you have. Paul, whoever's writing the book of Hebrews there, I will never leave you or forsake you, as God says. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? 1 John verse 5, it says, we have a confidence according to his will, that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. I remember being on a boat out in the Bay of Biscay, and it was just so windy. It was absolutely terrifying. And I remember standing at the front of the boat saying, peace be still. I thought, if Jesus did that, and I was a young Christian at the time, you know, maybe I could do that. And guess what? Absolutely nothing happened. And yet, as I sat down in the back of the boat, the stern of the boat, I suddenly realised actually that he still hears me, even in the storm. It's interesting that Jesus walked out to meet the disciples in a storm, in the wind. It's interesting that Peter actually got out the boat in the wind. He actually made that first confident move to go to Christ because Christ had called him in the wind. I don't like getting out of a boat when it's windy. Have you ever tried transferring from one boat to another boat when it's choppy? It's absolutely lethal. I think, no, let's wait a while. And yet Peter steps out. Can you imagine what the boat was like? And Peter steps out into the wind to be confident. Secondly, another thing we won't find in the world is to be convinced of something. What's the world convinced about apart from doom and gloom? Not a lot. What was there to be convinced about in 2011? Can you just remember all the different things that have gone on in the last 12 months? All the dictatorships that have come and gone. We had a royal wedding, that was quite good fun, wasn't it? But all the things that have come and gone makes people less convinced about the stability of the world than ever before. But what would Peter do about being convinced? He would say, well, you need to go to the Word of God. And unfortunately for him, the book of Romans wasn't written then, but he had Jesus. But Paul in Romans 8, verses 38 to 9 says this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life... Now remember, we've moved from being confident to convinced. It's like a step up. Can you imagine what it would be like if Paul said, I'm confident that neither death nor life... No, he's moved up. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life... Nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Something Paul was convinced about. You know, if I ever go to the hospital, and I have done in the past, and I've bumped into the surgeons, if they would say to me, I'm confident that I can sort this out, I think, right, oh, yeah, that's a bit... If they say, I'm convinced we can sort this out, I tell you what, it gives me so much more peace. And here's Paul as he writes to the church at Rome, and he says, I'm convinced that nothing's going to separate you from God. Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to you. Hebrews 6, verse 9, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and accompanying this salvation. Paul was convinced that better things lay ahead. Sometimes we can be so consumed by what we see, we think this is it. And yet in reality, the best is yet to come. And thirdly, moving from confidence to being convinced to actually know something. We need to think about how God sees that. First of all, Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We could start off 2012 just with that verse, really, couldn't we? Before you ever came into existence, I knew you. That's absolutely extraordinary. I think of my children, I think, well, I didn't even think about having children before my children came along. So let alone sort of knowing about them. But the Hebrew word for to know them is yada, and it means to experience. And it's used as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, as they came together, they knew one another. They knew one another intimately, closely. And God uses this, or Jeremiah uses this passage, when he says that God knew him. God knew him intimately. You know, God knows you intimately in 2012. It's one of the mysteries of marriage is that people get to know you intimately. And Iris knows me intimately, and the thing is that she still loves me. I thought somebody might laugh at that one. But God knows me even before my existence intimately, and he's overwhelmed with me. I find that really hard to take in. And yet I could take that thought into 2012 with me. What about you, that God knew you before you were even conceived or even existed? He knew all about you, how you would be, before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Before you were even at the most tenderest, vulnerable point of your life, he knew exactly all about you. God wanted one of you, so guess what? He created one of you, and there's nobody else like you. Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him. Not more knowledge, not more worldly goods, but I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What does it mean to know the power of the resurrection in your life? Oh, that's quite extraordinary, isn't it? The very same one who said, let there be light, the very same one who came back to life, to know that kind of power in your life in 2012. It's extraordinary, isn't it? But Paul says that I may know him, that I may experience him. Not just head knowledge. I have some friends who are like walking concordances. If you say, where does it say this in the Bible? They'll just tell you, just like that. I was going to say I hate those kind of people, but that's the wrong word. I think, oh, I wish I had that kind of skill where somebody said, where does it say this? And I struggle with that. There are other people who may know the word of God, but they don't know him. And I want to ask you this morning, as we enter into 2012, do you know about God or do you know him? And the power of his resurrection. Do you experience him? And so we come to this text that we have for this year, Romans 8 verse 28. And it's not just some sweeping statement that we almost like put a plaster on our finger when we cut ourselves with a Stanley knife. No, Paul says, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And again, that know is that experience word. Have you experienced that God causes all things to work together for good? It's going to be a tough and windy year, but we need to know God. We need to be confident in God. We need to be convinced in God so that we can know God. We can step out of the boat and move on in faith. 2012, step out, move on, and know God is able, even in the strongest wind. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you for those characteristics that we can truly find in your word, and pray that we will grow in confidence, we will grow in being convinced, and we would grow in our experiential knowledge of you in 2012. Pray this will be a really wonderful year with walking with you, Lord. Call us out of the boat, Lord, that we would step out and move on with you, wherever that would take us. And as the winds of this world continue to blow, may we keep our eyes on you this year. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together.